Hello, and this is Mrs. Paranormal. It is 11:24 Wisconsin time, also known as Wisconsin Investigators of the Supernatural. It's Sunday. Did I mention that? Maybe I did. I don't know. I'm home, so yeah. I ran out of time to go find a place to park to do the podcast, so I'm back home today. Hope everybody's doing well and you had a great work, vacation, retirement, whatever the hell it is you're doing. Hope you had a good one and you're enjoying it. Thank you all you new listeners, because my numbers did go up a little bit on Spotify. Now I have 1,070 followers, so thank you, you guys. Last I checked, it was 1,068, so yay! I'm doing something right. Woohoo! I'm doing doing a dance. You can't see it, but I'm doing a dance. Anyways, how's everybody's 4th? I know I went on the last podcast, but I'm asking again. Hope everybody had a great 4th. You had a great week. A little humid out here, a little hot now and then. You know, it's summertime and all that. There are some thunderheads, though. I could see them way north. I don't know if they're going to turn into anything, but that would be awesome if they did. House has been very quiet. No cases. That's all right. I'm cool with that. Hey, if you guys want, you can email me at pattyinw@gmail.com. Or Wisconsin Investigators of the Supernatural on Facebook. You can IM me. I apologize. I get sidetracked so freaking quick, you guys. I'm on there like, oh, I should post something on Facebook. And then all of a sudden, boom, squirrel. I get sidetracked. I don't know. It's just an excuse, right? So, well, the second attempt doing the podcast. The first one I was going to do on strange finds and garage sales, but... yeah, I didn't really care for it because everybody knows, and all you new listeners, this is not a typical podcast. There is no scripting, no notes. As I've said before, no posting notes anywhere. No, oh my God, what am I going to do today? I got to make sure I read my notes. No scripting at all. I would like to have a guest on now and then, but one, I don't really know how to do that. And two, the people I want to have on guests are so effing busy in their life. It's like, yeah, good luck. I think there's a way to add a guest on here. I've just never, because they advertise, hey, I have a guest speaker, I have a guest. Sorry, guys. I have my Dunkin', I swear. But yeah, someday I'll get a guest on here. I don't plan to stop this podcast because, hey, I have a good time doing it. And I love looking at my phone talking to nobody. My phone. Well, I'm talking to you guys, but you know what I mean, right? I told my one friend, I said, you know, you could do a podcast. She goes, no, I'm too shy. I'm like, oh, that's okay. I understand. I mean, the first time I did this podcast, you guys, I was at home. And I was like, should I do this? Because, you know, I don't always investigate as much anymore, but I still like to read stories about investigations and monsters and creepy things. And you guys know, right? You know all about that. But I'm like, but I don't really get out. No, that's up to me, right? Right. So I'm like, what if I could do a podcast? So I did research, and it was on Anchor. And it's free. It's fucking free. Yeah, if you get, I think, enough followers, you can. They'll send you, like, ads. And you can make a little money, but nothing to quit your full-time job. Nothing to quit your part-time job. Nothing like that, you guys, at all. But it's like volunteer work. Volunteering about 30 minutes to do the podcast, but sometimes it takes an hour or two because I screw up and I'll start over or it gets set, whatever. Anyways, stop the tangents. Was so nervous the first time I hit record. I was kind of like shaking. I'm like, why am I so nervous? And now look at me, 3 years later, 4 years, five, I don't remember when I started, to be honest with you. All you new listeners, I did have some recordings from, I don't know, what was that, 2018? I don't know. And I accidentally deleted them, so there was more podcasts, there were more episodes back then, so I accidentally deleted those. I won't do that anymore. Don't push the button. So, anyways, if you guys really want to do a podcast, you can. You could be anywhere you want. Anywhere. You don't have to have a full-on freaking studio. You don't have to have a boom mic. You don't have to have headsets on. Nothing. It's totally portable. And I'm not doing this as an ad. I'm just letting you guys know, if you like this, if you want to do something like this, give it a try and do not freak out if you don't get a lot of followers. It's awesome to see my numbers are growing, but I love it. It's like, holy shit, look at that. yeah, so pick up your phone. You can go to, I don't, know if you have to go through Anchor anymore, you guys, or just Spotify. I don't remember. I'm sorry. Because they changed it. And you just hit record. And you could stop it. You can edit it, which I don't know how to do, so don't ask me. You can edit your thing, and you could put in music, and I think all that shit. That's too much. I like simple push and play. That's the way I grew up. Push and play. Get the recorder. Push and play. Remember when you had to do, play, you had to push play. Remember those recorders, you guys? Because I know you're around my age bracket, because I remember seeing on my stats, it was like ages 45 to 50-something. So do you remember having those, was it Realistic? Was that the name of it? The recorder where you had to push play and record at the same time. And you had to get your fingers to reach. To, and then the play would work, but you didn't hit the record button right. It's like, God damn it, stop. And that is when we used to make... You remember making a playlist for you, and you're listening to the radio. It's like, oh my god, this is my song. You get it, you record, you wish play and record, and then you have to stop before the disc jockey, yeah, DJ, would get on and start talking. Oh my god. Or you make a playlist for your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your friend, and oh my god, this is so us, and oh god. Yeah. I did have one of those recorders, you guys. I think it was from Radio Shack. Yeah. Was it Realistic or Idealistic? Something like that. I could see it in my head, but I can't make it out. I came across it in my basement. My basement was a fucking disaster. And I swear to God, I'm like, oh yeah, there it is. And I put it off to the side, but I don't know what side, because now I can't find it. I know I didn't throw it away. I know I didn't. And I remember looking, the battery case, it was in good shape. Yeah. And you had the little external mic with the plug. That tiny little microphone. Remember that? Ah, yes, yes. The good old days, huh? And no, I'm not old enough to have 8-track, but my sisters had 8-track players in their vehicles. And you had to put the little paper on the 8-track to push it down to make sure it plays. Otherwise, you'd skip or something. Remember those? All right, guys. Anyways, I was going to try and do the podcast regarding garage sales, but honestly, they fell really flat. I'm like, these are lame. Fucking lame. So I'm like, nah. So then my second attempt right now at doing the podcast, I'm looking at, if you guys know me, I'm fascinated with the whole mirror theory. I am fascinated with the tunnels. I am fascinated with closets. Why are the mantras always in the closet? Why? Why are they in the attics? Why in the basement? Well, those two from Epic Paranormal, he came up with a theory. I think either him or Sean, whatever, or the paranormal community came up with a theory that the reason why spirits hang out in your attic, which I don't have one, with the basement I do, is because it's quiet and there's barely any activity down there. So when the humans go down there or up there, they flip out and they hide. They're like, hey man, you're in my space. What the hell? That is the theory that the paranormal people, as I, have. It's quiet. Again, they're calm. It's calm down there. They can do whatever they want. It's usually pretty dark in basements unless, like I said, it's a refinished basement. Then it's just like having a living room. So that's the theory on that. The whole mirror thing just fascinates me to this day. I've been fascinated with mirrors. No, I'm not being conceited. Oh my god, like, whatever. No, because you know spirits and the whole thing, right? Yeah, you got it. Anyways, mirrors, basements, closets, tunnels. Just, I don't know, just fascinates the fuck out of me. I don't know why. Speaking of that, I found my DVD player, not DVD player, my CD of Disturbia. That was a phenomenal fucking movie. I've seen it, I don't know, probably 10 times. Are you tired of me babbling? 10 minutes in almost. All right, let's pull up some of the stories I found. One is on plumbers, which I may read. I don't know. The other one was tunnels, and they look pretty good. So I just read the first couple sentences. I swear, I don't proofread it. I don't proofread any of this. There's no scripting. Nothing. I just go here, and I go here, and I go there, and they got all those stupid freaking ads. I hate this. So I have to do Reader, right? And this is on Ranker, which is, I know, a popular one for people to share their stories. I didn't see how many stories there are, so hopefully there's enough. Actually, wait a minute. That's not the one I wanted. Hold the phone. Sorry. Just doing to make sure this is the one. We'll see how this goes. The lineup, which I've gone to before for cases. ghost stories. 22 terrifying true ghost stories and strange encounters. If I've read these, I apologize. Usually, as I read them, I can remember, oh, hey, I've read that before. This was posted in... Usually they put the year they post these. Then there's no, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. This is the one that they... I don't... Sometimes I don't like the way they post a story because the way they word it just... It confuses me. So they'll say, like, reader use it, blah, 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 blah. It has an eerie story about sharing their home with a dead former tenant. While they and their family were in the process of purchasing the house, the renter at the time passed away suddenly in the house of natural causes in his mid-40s. So, again, I'm home, you guys. I apologize if I didn't say that before, so I apologize if you hear cars. I got stuff to do this afternoon, so I just want to come home and chill before I go out and play with the horses. Soon after the new family moved in, Patience Pending was the name of the reader. The guy. 2-year-old daughter began to talk about a ghost in the house. Given that she was 2 years old, the homeowner assumed that she was just, was it? Impressionable? That she was just impressionable. Halloween had recently passed and she had a Halloween book, here we go, that she enjoyed looking through. The daughter's reports of seeing a ghost continued, although she never appeared to be scared of the man she claimed to see. So it's a man. Aha! The homeowner, we'll just call them the parents, okay, let's say the parents, didn't know how to feel about it, so about the so-called ghost, but just in case, they told the ghost several times that he was welcome to stay in the house or leave, whichever would make him happier. One morning, while the parents and their daughter were leaving for her school, she said that it was the man's birthday, and they, did I read this before? And they needed to sing happy birthday to him. As a 2-year-old, she's generally obsessed with birthdays. The parents didn't think too much of it, but joined her daughter in simply singing happy birthday to the home's former tenant. That evening, the parents looked up the obituary of the man who might have been haunting their home, and of course, it was his birthday. Aww, that's sweet. I don't think I've read that one before. It doesn't sound familiar. All right, let's call Peaches. Was the occasional babysitter of a 2-year-old boy that had been warned that the boy would sometimes seem to hold conversations with his grandma, who had passed away before the boy was born. Given that, they were prepared to expect a few creepy things during the evenings, but this went above and beyond. I don't know if I read this up. I apologize. I'll keep reading. If it hits a bell, then I'll stop. Hits a bell? Rings a bell. Good Lord. Get the bats out. That night, the boy pointed to an empty wall and said, "Grandpa." Then he gripped the chair he was sitting in and began to chatter his teeth uncontrollably. Understandably freaked out, the babysitter decided to put the boy to bed. On the way to his upstairs bedroom, they realized that the front door was, for some reason, unlocked. They locked it, jiggled the door to confirm that it had locked, then went upstairs to tuck the boy in. 20 minutes later, once the kid was asleep, they're calling him a boy, now they're calling him a kid, whatever, they went back downstairs and saw the front door was inexplicitly unlocked again. I think I've read this. They checked the house for an intruder, but found no one. What if they did? What the hell? What would you do? Right? Hide behind the couch? I don't know. They checked the house for an intruder, but no one was found, and spent the rest of the night waiting on the edge of terror for the parents to arrive home. Needless to say, they thought twice before agreeing to sit for that family again. It sounds kind of familiar. Sorry, I just saw something, a keyword I didn't like reading. I should make sure it ends okay. That's a weird one. I won't read that one. So, Tucker was helping his 3-year-old son take a bath one evening when his son asked, why does grandma call mommy something, 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 something? And they bleeped it out, so I have no idea what it was. It's a private nickname, apparently. Now, Tucker's deceased mother-in-law had called her daughter. Well, the fuck? What? Okay, so apparently, the mother-in-law had called the daughter a specific nickname, but they don't share here, so sorry. Whatever. The grandma had passed away when the son was only 4 months old, making it highly unlikely that the son would be able to remember that name. When they asked where their son heard that name, he replied, "The farmer told me," and it explained that the farmer was his friend. At the time, they lived in a 1930s house in Pasadena. The next week, Tucker witnessed his son engaging in a long conversation with the invisible farmer. At that point, he and his wife became unsettled by their son's new friend, especially when the son revealed that the farmer would often walk out of the room when his parents entered. This doesn't sound familiar to me, you guys. Eventually, in the middle of the night, they heard the son say, "Grandma's..." What? Let me back up, sorry. Eventually, in the middle of the night, they heard the son say, "Grandma, say you and I can't be friends anymore." "Oh, Grandma says you and I can't be friends anymore." When questioned, he revealed that his grandma said not to play with the farmer ever again. Since then, the farmer hasn't made another appearance. Why? Why can't he play with him? Why? But why? The man in the top hat, which we all know the top hat. I have my own stories of the top hat man. I'm sure you guys do too. Again, it's PATTYINWI@gmail.com. Wisconsin Investigators of the Supernatural. When Reader and their brother were young, they lived in an old house and witnessed something unexplainable. An unfamiliar man in the top hat walked into the living room. Decades later, so-and-so shared this story with their daughter when asked if they believe in ghosts. Minutes later, the phone dinged, not ringed, dinged. It was their brother who wrote, "I was just talking to partner about our paranormal stuff. Do you remember that guy in the top hat?" Okay, coincident. 5 haunted house books that will make you think twice about moving. It's a book. I don't want to read the book. I want to know the story. Okay, let's call him Cool Man. Has a story that is sure to keep you awake nights. When they were 10 or 11, they stayed up late and were struggling to fall asleep. When they heard a sobbing noise, they turned around to see a 7 or 8 foot tall woman with matted hair and ragged clothes sobbing in the far end of the room. Eventually, the terrifying woman made eye contact before turning around and walking through the wall. Huh. That's that. 7 or 8 foot tall woman. Good God. Amazon. What is this here? Is that the same guy? Nope. Another one. Another Tucker. A picture's worth 1,000 words. When Tucker was 6 or 7, they were attempting to sleep on their grandmother's couch when they suddenly heard whispering. I think I've read this one. Where the grandpa was annoyed. Okay. Sudden whispering, they turned around to see that a picture of their aunt was talking to them. The aunt's picture was so-and-so. We're asked to get grandpa, and that's when the house is on fire or something? Oh, that's when 3 people were outside trying to steal the car. That's a different one. Okay. It's this one. All right, so Reader Jenke shared the tale of his 4 younger cousins born after the grandpa passed. One morning, as they came down for breakfast, they pointed to the picture of their grandpa and announced, "That's him," and said, "That's the picture in the photo." God damn it. And said, the man pictured in the photo was the same who comes out to talk to us at night until we fall asleep. Why are they showing pictures of tunnels? I don't get it. Okay, long story short, which is a short story anyways, so they see their grandpa. They keep him busy. They talk to him before they fall asleep. Okay, cool. And they saw a picture of him. Got it. 20 years ago, an anonymous reader who lived in Switzerland visited an abandoned World War II bunker with some friends. The door to get into the bunker was locked, but there was a small peephole that they were able to look in. From that vantage point, they saw a strange light at the end of the corridor, behind which was a silhouette of a person, as if someone in the hallway was holding a flashlight and shining on them. Just then, they felt a huge slam on the door they were peeping through, as if someone was banging against it from inside. They ran. When they saw each other the next day at school, they convinced each other that some kids must have broken into the bunker somehow and played a prank on them. But when they went back later to investigate, their fears were confirmed. The door was indeed locked. There was no way anyone would have been able to get in. 20 years later, when they returned to the same spot, they got chills. Bunkers. I'm telling you, I saw something about tunnels. God damn it, where'd it go? Where did it go? That's just one story. It says, people share the scariest experiences they've had underground, but it's only one fucking story. Oh, there were skulls from small animals everywhere. So we're jumping tracks here. We're changing it up. I do electrical work for a living. I've been working in old Baltimore lately, and most of the buildings in Baltimore are connected to tunnels. So about a few months ago, I was working on a building, putting lights in the tunnels. Well, one day on my lunch break, I decided to walk around the tunnels. I walked for about 20 minutes when I thought I heard a foreman call me down one of the halls. I assumed he went to look around as well. So I started to walk down the hall, and it started to get deeper and colder. I thought about turning around because I didn't want to get lost. But then I heard it again. So I went a little deeper. Heard what again? Eventually I hit a room about the size of a baseball court. Baseball court? Don't you mean basketball court? Baseball doesn't have a court. It's gotta be basketball. Is it? I don't know. Yeah, it's basketball because it's a new game, guys. Baseball courts. With probably about 20-foot high ceilings, the ground was all sticky. Ew. And every step I took sounded like I was undoing a heavy Velcro strap. Oh my god. There were skulls from small animals everywhere in there. And they are placed in a big triangle pointing to a very large dog-like skeleton. Oh, what the fuck? At this point, I was freezing and really scared. I started to smell a harsh burning smell and heard what sounded like a big dog running on concrete. I could hear it getting louder and closer and closer and louder. I started to run. Finally, after I felt like an hour of running at full sprint, I ran into a staircase with a big heavy metal door at the end. I heard the noise like they were right around the corner, so with all my might and adrenaline-fueled strength, I ripped the door open and slammed it behind me. I heard and felt a thud against the door. I turned around to see that I was standing under the docks by the Four Seasons at the Marriott. I called my boss and told him I got lost in the tunnels and needed to get picked up. Since that day, I refused to go down the tunnels anymore in Baltimore or go in the sub-basements in Baltimore. What the fuck, you guys? Oh, I was wondering, with the sticky, I wonder if he's like standing in blood for rituals. That's creepy as F. This is the end. All these stupid commercials on this. Oh, I hate that, you guys, when I'm on these, on the ads popping up everywhere. All right. Okay, this is the end. Okay, so-and-so reader was playing in the woods and tripped over something solid. Found it was a ceramic circle and realized it was an underground door. Now that would be cool. The next day, I come back with a crowbar to open it, and like hell, I'm going unarmed. So I pulled it up, and it was a Cold War era personal bomb shelter. That failed? ? There was a giant crack in the roof. The floor was covered with slime, but that was worse. As the walls were covered in writings. This is the end. We must die. Everyone is gone. Wow. Till I find the back wall and a giant red scrawl. Get the F out of my home. That's it. I'm fucking out. I sprinted up the door and closed it. I don't want to know what the hell that was, but I come back the next day and it was burned out. I didn't set a fire intentionally. And I didn't smell smoke leave. That's weird. So he goes to visit it. I gotta plug in my phone. So he goes in there, right? He finds his underground tunnel. Somebody's writing get the fuck out because it's somebody's home. And then he goes back the next day and is burned down or burned out. I wonder if he contacted the police after that, too. It's very suspicious, if you ask me. Very suspicious. All right, that's a good one. All right, these are good here, guys. Back up now. Not like an exclamation, but like quotations. A friend and I used to work at a university in a building that was large and located in the city. The street level floor is actually labeled as a fourth floor. The floors below had light from interior courtyards. The elevators and stairs all stopped. Sorry. I don't know. My phone keeps... I'm just sidetracking here. It's like I have my phone on and I'm plugging in, but all of a sudden it starts to dim the phone. I'm like, what? I can't read it now because it dimmed it and I don't even touch it. And I have the auto dim off. Where it's supposed to, if it's too bright in the room, I have it turned off. And then I lose my track. Damn it. The elevators and stairs all stopped. Let's back up here. I'm sorry. God damn it. A friend and I used to work at a university in a building that was large and located in a city. The street level floor was actually labeled as the fourth floor. The floors below that had light from the interior courtyards. That made no, that made no sense to me. Oh my God. The elevators and stairs all stopped at one, but there was clearly a level below that could be seen from one of the interior corridors. One day we slipped through the One day we slipped through the window into the basement. As we suspected, none of the equipment seemed to be in use anymore, but it was cool old stuff. As we were looking around, we found a stairway down. So down we went to another floor that seemed to hold supporters for giant machines above, plus some large storage areas of coal. As we were looking around, we found what looked like a large tool shed standing in the middle of the floor. We didn't want to damage anything, but we were intensely curious. So we managed to very carefully pry away the nailed down boards to see the top of the spiral staircase going down. What? At this point, we were five stories underground, and by design, nobody else knew that it was there. Sounds like a movie, right? We slipped through the hole in the wall and started to climb down a rickety old metal stairway. It was in the back, but my friend and in the lead immediately said, calmly said, back up now. In the shed, he explained that at the bottom of the stairs seemed to be completely rusted away. There was a hallway filled with water, and it wasn't clear how deep the water was, you know, in the hallway. It could have been a few inches or a few feet. I wanted to take a look, so I went down the stairs. Sure enough, as he describes it, with two additional details. An old bell system hard hat floated upside down in the water below the staircase. After a few seconds, a wake in the water was heading towards me. A wake? Huh? Oh, like the ocean. At this point, it was up now. The wake could have been a wave caused by us moving around or a rat swimming in the water. But it wasn't exactly time when, right? It wasn't exact time we wanted to discover local wildlife. We waited at the top of the stairs for a few minutes just to see if anything appeared. But it all went silent, and we decided the tunnel would remain unexplored. Wow. That's fucking intense, right? Oh, God. Ooh, these urban explorers, man. I tell ya. They do this so I have stories to read you guys. Okay, it feels like a body, but not a human. Well, that's good. My buddy and I spent many years crawling through sewer... Why? What the hell? Anyways, they're crawling through sewer pipes. Why? I don't know. One day, we're out in the woods, me, him, and another friend. We found some pipes sticking out of a hillside and agreed to explore it. Where the hell are they? Well, we crawled down this thing a good 600 feet or so on our hands and knees. At times it gets smaller, and we're on our stomachs. Finally, it comes to one of those big manhole rooms, and we get the impression that we're under a house. Of course, we also know that in some places, manholes will exist in the middle of nowhere for future development. I didn't know that. Anyway, the room has three upper small pipes heading off into different directions, like slither on your stomach size. Oh my God. We chose one and marked our friend Z to go first. Oh, made our friend Z go first, sorry. We go down about 300 feet, and he shouts back that there's something in the way. He thinks it's the body of an animal, but since we're using weak headlamps, he can't tell. We coerced him to climb over it. Aw, he's freaking out, saying shit is all over his clothes. He doesn't know what it is. Oh my God. I climb over this dark lump. Oh God. I climb over this dark lump of refuse. Feels like a body, but not human. Not even animal. Just alien. Smells bad. Smells horrible. I slide over the nasty shit, almost puking. My buddy behind me comes next. Same story. They have to go back that way. What the fuck are they thinking? Sigh. We keep going, asking ourselves why we even do this shit in the first place. We crawl another few hundred feet. Z starts complaining about a horrible, god-awful stench ahead. We can't, for the life of us, get him to continue. He ends up getting sick. We start throwing the idea around of gas of some sort. He says there's something big up ahead. Looks like an honest-to-God human, maybe. We slid backwardly. We slide backward quickly until we get to the manhole room and we crawl out quickly. We get into the daylight, investigate the shit stuck to our clothes from the, you know, the, from sliding over that thing. It's dark, bloody dark. Refuse, R-E-F-U-S-E, dark. Looks like fur. We agree that it was probably a trapped animal. We never went back again. Oh my god. Oh my god. Dude, can you guys imagine? Laying on your oh my god, no, I can't. Mm-mm. Nope. God. Police pulled a corpse out. Here goes the phone again. Anyway, sorry. As a teen, I was an urban explorer. These are good stories, you guys, I gotta say. There was an old ice plant near my house that burned about 20 to 35 years prior. Anyways, it wasn't really underground, but it was so overgrown that it felt more like it was. I went climbing around and over and under mangled concrete, rebar and graffiti for a while, and finally decided I was done. A couple days later, I heard about the police pulling out a corpse out from there. Pretty sure I walked right by and didn't even notice. Mm-mm-mm. Let me check the time. Okay, well, I'll save the other stories for the next podcast. My 30 minutes, like I try to keep it at, is ending, is coming to an end. And I have stuff to do in about an hour anyways. So, hey, you guys, thank you so much for taking about 30 minutes out of your day to listen to me. This podcast was kind of up and down all over. I appreciate it so, so much. I will keep doing the podcast until I get burnt out, but I don't foresee that happening because I always keep finding stories. I start one way, like one direction in my mind. Hey, let's go check out the. But then I find this and I go, oh, that's good. Let's go that way. Duh. I don't know. You know, just the way. I love hearing stories about tunnels. These urban explorers, I'm marking that page. I will definitely pick up next week. I don't know how many stories there are. There may be just one left. I don't know. Maybe two, maybe 12. But these people. I never really got in. I never got into urban exploring because, I'm sorry, but if it says no to trespassing or something like that, I'm not going to do it. You know? I don't want to worry about the outcome. You know, if I trespass and I get caught and like, oh, you know, I don't know. So I'll leave it up to all these people out there doing the urban exploring. I do know one guy. He does, I don't know how the hell he does it, you guys. But he gets into hospitals, asylums. He gets into old abandoned libraries, abandoned buildings and houses. And I'm like, I want to know, but I don't want to know. And he's always posting his pictures on Facebook, which I can't tell you who it is. But he's always putting them on Facebook. But, you know, it sounds mean, but it's getting kind of boring because he doesn't tell us anything. It's just like he just shows random, like he was in this church, old abandoned church, just shit everywhere. And still had the beautiful stained glass, you know, up at the top there. It's absolutely beautiful, but no details. Nothing. And these goes in these homes that are like mansions that have been abandoned. And it's like, it's okay. It's getting kind of boring because you're not telling us much. He does a little bit of video, but I swear to God, I don't know how the fuck he gets in these places, you guys. They're clearly boarded up and he's clearly trespassing. But I guess that's what it is, being an urban explorer for some. Right? Not all. I could never do it. But anyways, with that, you guys email me at pattyinw@gmail.com. If you have any paranormal questions or anything like that, I'll do my best to help you and answer your questions. I'm still a paranormal investigator. I've been doing it for quite a while. I think I know what I'm doing. I'm not really into the new equipment that's out there. That REM pod rope. I have yet to see where I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. That I want. No. I like the REM pod. I like the K2 meters. Old school shit, you know. But, yeah. Go ahead and email me and I'll answer your questions the best that I can. If you have any good stories you want to share with me, I can read them on the podcast. Of course, I'll try and do a better job than stumbling and fumbling. I will not put your name out there. If you do not want your name out there, just tell me. And in the email, put down podcast in the subject field so I know to open it. Okay? Wisconsin Investigators of the Supernatural on Facebook. Twitter is Patty at WWII SUPERNATURAL. So with that, you guys have a phenomenal work week, vacation, retirement, whatever the hell you're doing. I so appreciate this. And until next time, you guys, this is Mrs. Paranormal signing off.